Welcome to the New York Times podcast live after the Grammys. We're here in the chairs, in the studio. We watched the event in the green room. Shout out Lindsay, shout out Elena, shout out Amanda. We're here to talk about what happened. We're here to talk about the big winners. We're here to talk about a couple of moments that were fairly confounding, if we're going to keep it a buck. And we're going to talk about what I found to be, dare I say, an uncommonly emotional Grammys, at least the moments that really resonated for me. We obviously have to start off with Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny wins Album of the Year, one of several wins for Bad Bunny. When he was announced, the camera, I mean, talk about a guy who understands stagecraft, sitting in his chair, hand over his eyes.
Yeah, he went Jordan mode.
He really did.
Kobe mode with the trophy.
And, not, you know, again, I believe the sincerity of it, but also very, very striking. In a very long show, you're at hour 3.5 to have 15, 20, 30 seconds of contemplative silence just right there on CBS for the last time. What do you make of the Bad Bunny win? We were sort of wondering all night long. Obviously, this was your pick for what should win. Very close to being my pick as well. An incredible album and also a really important statement. What was your takeaway from Bad Bunny winning that, but not the other big categories?
I was going back and forth all night between, okay, I'm nervous. Are the Grammys going to Grammy? I'll just say it, like when Billie won her third Song of the Year for Wildflower, which to me is not even a top tier Billie Eilish ballad, I thought, oh no, like what's going to happen here?
I said it before, I've said it on other episodes. I'm glad Billie Eilish got on stage, spoke up, said her piece. That said, this is a lesser Billie Eilish song from a lesser Billie Eilish album.
That was Shut Out last year. Hit me hard and
But she only wins if she's nominated. She's only nominated if it's submitted.
Anyway.
Some people love awards.
That got me a little low.
Sorry.
It got me a little low. I was thinking like, oh no, is this just going to be a normal grant? Like Lady Gaga's going to win Album of the Year. It's going to be off, which like
mayhem.
I don't dislike mayhem, but I just, the Bad Bunny album was right there. Then I was like, okay, I guess they're spreading around the love. Like,
yeah.
Kendrick for record, Billy for song, Bad Bunny for album, David Tirar Más Fotos. I can live with it. I think if the show would have ended any other way, it would have sort of wiped out like 3 hours of goodwill.
General
like of
goodwill.
What I thought was like a mostly goodwill, solid and sometimes surprising ceremony. I think there were some wins on the telecast that I wasn't expecting, but that landed in a good way. Bad Bunny had his moment early in the show. He won Música Urbana. Mm-hmm. He did his, you know, Ice Out speech. For him to play Album of the Year as a personal moment, speaking primarily in Spanish for the first half of his speech, addressing his mother, addressing his home of Puerto Rico, like, I just can't imagine. I mean, you got emotional. Yeah, I saw you get emotional.
I got emotional.
In the room watching it on TV.
Yeah.
And it was hard not to feel him in that moment. I mean, he's right behind your head.
He is. No, sorry, that's Addison.
There's Bad Bunny.
Very memorable photo shoot.
Very memorable photo shoot. Hi, Amanda. An insane way to launch into the Super Bowl next week.
Yeah.
Like, expectations were already high to me, this and the lack of Bad Bunny performance at the awards themselves, which was a running joke throughout the show. I think like expectations could not be higher for what he's going to do next week, both musically and politically.
Yeah, I'm sort of loath to frame the Bad Bunny win in moral terms, right? Like, I think we know each other well enough. You've known me for long enough to know that that is not my primary experience of culture. Like, I acknowledge how important a moral dimension is to certain artists or to certain works of art, but I don't necessarily think that the winner of the Grammy Album of the Year, a category in an award show that I think is fundamentally out of touch and not that meaningful, has to have a moral dimension to it. But I think when you look at the larger circumstance, the political moment, and also everything that's happened in pop music in the last 10 years, I think to have someone like Bad Bunny, who his path to stardom was unusual, his genre is maybe not front and center for most Grammy voters. It's performed, the album's performed in Spanish. It's referencing historical music that may be foreign to a lot of people who are voting for Grammys. And it's funny, we still encounter, you and I, people who still are like, Bad Bunny, what's that about?
And if that's you, go listen to our episode of The Daily.
We were on The Daily this morning. I got a text before I woke up this morning from someone who essentially said, I still have people in my life who say that to me, and I'm literally just going to give this episode to them rather than argue with them. I am grateful that rather than simply nominating Bad Bunny and the Grammys patting themselves on the back and giving the award to Lady Gaga, again, no shots at Lady Gaga, but I'm grateful that enough people in the Academy understood that not only was this a musically special album, not only was this a timely album, but that there is also this added dimension of honoring someone in the moment that they are actually achieving their highest highs.
Right.
Now,
he's on top of the world.
Right.
And, on top of the world.
And we can quibble over whether this is the best Bad Bunny album or the second best Bad Bunny album, but we are undeniably in the era of Bad Bunny.
Yeah.
I will add one additional thing, and I've talked about this on a couple of prior episodes, but there is this thing happening with the Bad Bunny album where it is a classic Grammy structure of a young artist with a big fan base reaching back to older styles of music and making explicit comparisons and connections between the past and present.
Yeah.
And frankly, you also see that with Record of the Year. You see that with our good friend Luther Grandros.
Luther Grandros.
Woofer Grandros.
Cher was somehow Al Pacino at the Oscars and
the Moonlight thing?
The Moonlight La La Land thing? Like, all combined?
Yeah.
Warren Beatty and Al Pacino at once?
Bless her. Looking great. Worried about Cher. Tiny bit. But Luther, which is the Kendrick Lamar and SZA song, which samples Luther Vandross, is also obviously an explicit connection between generations, between genres.
Yep.
I think actually when we had our Grammy predictions episode, I think I undervalued that aspect of the song. I think I take it kind of as a given. I think I didn't see it through that lens, and I only saw it through that lens watching it tonight, hearing Kendrick speak so reverently about Luther Vandross. I mean, Luther Vandross, obviously one of the greatest pure singers of all time, like one of my favorite singers of all time. Someone who maybe wasn't totally recognized. I don't, you know, someone will have to fact check this, but maybe wasn't totally properly honored by the Grammys in his lifetime.
One might assume,
Yeah. And so here
he wins 33 nominations in his career.
Okay.
I'm sure a few of those are posthumous.
Yeah. And so Record of the Year and Album of the Year, both maybe slightly conservative. As much as I enjoy the Bad Bunny record and as much as I understand the Kendrick and SZA record, but they may fundamentally be conservative choices that actually from a distance, maybe we'll look back on this year and say, those were slightly conservative picks.
Certainly. And conservative, literally in the sense that Kendrick said in his speech, they told us we could sample this song if we didn't curse, which I thought was a nice little detail.
They also told us we could go live if we didn't curse.
Right. Except if it's newsworthy, and it was when Billie Eilish said, fuck ice. That was newsworthy.
That is true.
So sometimes we're allowed to curse in the New York Times if it's a newsworthy moment. I want to talk about this thread, the sort of musical conservative stuff is always going to happen at the Grammys. Progressive political stuff isn't always going to happen at the Grammys.
That is true.
But I thought we got it here in some subtle moments, some emotional moments, and some unexpected moments. Like, did you think Olivia Dean would be more likely to reference the ongoing ICE deportations than Kendrick Lamar, say?
I got to be honest and say I was very surprised that the first mention on the main show, there were some mentions at the pre-show, Shaboozy most notably, from what I can gather. Olivia Dean described herself as a product of bravery, talking about how she is the grandchildren of immigrants, I believe. Not the children, grandchildren of immigrants. Throughout the show, you saw more and more people appearing with Ice Out pins. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they were distributed maybe like Sub Rosa during the event itself.
I think there was a whole, there was a campaign,
but I felt like we saw them a little bit more towards the end. Phineas and Billy also were wearing them. I think that we are in an award season. We're heading towards the Oscars. There's a tremendous amount of turmoil in the streets of this country. I think that things are coming to a head where people who are public-facing celebrities, regardless of whether they are in music or whether they are in film, are feeling an obligation to say something and maybe feeling a desire. Obligation might be an unfair word. Feeling a desire to make their perspective known.
And I thought it was telling that most of the people who chose to speak up politically, with the exception of Billie Eilish, actually, framed it in very personal terms.
Yep.
The political was entirely personal for these people. They did it through their biography, and most of them took a positive spin, not a let's go disrupt the world. You know, I think SZA was trying to get at this a little bit.
Bad Bunny said, let's meet hate with love, in essence, or love more powerful.
When they go low, we go high sort of theme to the whole thing.
Jelly Roll saying Jesus doesn't belong to any particular political party.
Yeah. So Jelly Roll, one of the wins that I was not expecting.
Agreed.
Best contemporary country album for Beautifully Broken. Mm-hmm. He went up there. He did his pastor thing, his Jesus Saves.
Brought his Bible out.
But then he did sort of slip in what you said. Jesus is not owned by one political party.
Right.
And I guess backstage in the press room, he alluded to speaking out in a week in the most clear way he's ever done. I don't know if that's a song. I don't know if that's a commercial. I don't know if that's a rally appearance, a protest appearance,
a concert appearance,
Super Bowl appearance. You know, I'm not calling Jelly Roll at the Super Bowl, but I did think it was really surprising to hear an artist, a Nashville artist, a left of center Nashville artist, musically, but still a Nashville, a product of country music.
But a product of gangster rap.
Yes.
I mean, this is actually what's so fascinating about Nashville in this current moment is you have a number of the biggest stars who are either direct products of rap music, in the case of Jelly Roll, or indirect products of rap music, maybe like a Morgan Wallen. Now, obviously, that's a person with a complicated valence politically.
Sure.
But I think Jelly Roll winning an award like this, which is a stand-in for Nashville as a whole, him being the voice, him being the person who gets to speak on behalf of the town, his message is not going to be the same as a Jason Aldean.
Right.
It's not going to be the same as, I think, a large percentage of people who could have won that award. Now, it's not Tyler Childers. It's not the same as Tyler Childers. But I think Jelly Roll might be the only person who could plausibly bring both sides of the debate together in the context of a Nashville figure.
Anything else on politics that stuck with you? Were you surprised, and I think we can move into talking about some of the music, the performances, but were you surprised that the performances themselves were not more political?
No, I think that was maybe the least surprising thing, because I just don't think that the artists who were performing, if Bad Bunny had performed,
sure.
Frankly, if Kendrick had performed, there were some, I remember last year, a very vivid debate on the internet about the degree of the political intensity of Kendrick's Super Bowl performance.
Right. And whether he was making a statement or not about America.
And really, anytime Kendrick performs, I feel like there's a little bit of a tug of war between people who paint him as a true radical of the moment and people who say he's actually not rising to the occasion and speaking on politics. But neither of those people performed. One of the things we were talking about in the other room as we were watching, the Grammys have evolved in an unusual way. I don't think that there are that many contemporary super famous people who really feel they need to perform at the Grammys.
Right.
Some can, some will. They might have their reasons. And so what's happened, especially in the last 2 or 3 years in the Harvey Mason era, is you have front-loaded performances by young performers. Best New Artists, all 8 nominees, got a minute and a half, maybe 2 minutes. In the case of the Marias, 2 minutes too long, I would say.
some long minutes.
Yeah. And then there are the tributes. Yeah. And this year, the tributes took, if we have our math right, almost 20 minutes across an Ozzy Osbourne tribute, a D'Angelo tribute, a Roberta Flack tribute. What happens in between is you have 3 or 4 people.
You skipped Reba.
Sorry. My bad.
Pay your respects, please.
The GOAT. Truly the GOAT. Yeah. So what you have in between are 3, 4, 5 performances of, I think, artists who really want to make a statement about their music,
right,
or who want to make a case for their music. You saw that with Sabrina. You especially saw that with Justin Bieber tonight.
Yeah, I want to get to the Bieber thing. I just want to linger for one more minute on the idea of political performances, because there was a lot of chatter this weekend of, oh, what a Grammys it would be if they could get Bruce Springsteen to open the show with Streets of Minneapolis,
yes,
his new quickly written, recorded, released protest song. I think people still want music to be that, to be the sort of social activist balm, especially at a moment like this. But I thought it actually worked for it to be less heavy-handed and more natural the way it came out in these speeches.
Well, because I think what happened is you saw these artists as people. Like you say, they, everybody who spoke about it, by and large, spoke in personal terms. Yeah. But I also think I want to know, like, if Billie Eilish is going to say something, like, I want to hear it from Billie. I don't need to hear it tacked onto or tucked into a performance.
Right.
I think for someone to use her voice, her power, her presence, her celebrity to draw attention to these issues, that's the most powerful way to do it, if you're going to do it at all.
Justin Bieber.
Man.
The best Justin Bieber performance?
My guy.
Of all time?
You know, I'm reminded. So first of all, I think I put this in our live blog. This was a startling performance.
Oh, yeah.
I don't use that word lightly.
I was worried when he came out in his underpants.
Yeah. boxer shorts by Skylark, as our colleague Jacob Gallagher pointed out. Yep. He's reporting.
Socks
on a rug, a loop pedal, an MPC, a guitar, built the loop himself for UConn. Shout out Toon Yards.
And Ed
Sheeran. Shout out Ed Sheeran.
And Dijon. Yeah, Jerry McGee. All of you.
All of you.
Andrew Bird. And
anyone who's
ever used a loop pedal.
Shout out A-Rap Music. Anyone's ever used an MPC. Shout out A-Rap Music. And Kanye West. So Justin Bieber arrives at the Grammy with a sort of intense amount of baggage, right? Many years kind of in the wilds. And a great amount of concern about his well-being. He has to sever his relationship with his former manager, create new entities, and goes...
Create Skylark.
Creates brand with a lot of puffy footwear. And then goes in the woodshed, which is just, again, you want to talk about a credibility play. Also a traditional Grammy framework, right? Although Justin Bieber's credibility play is... What if I work with some of the sort of like forward-thinking voices in indie music? Not the most obscure necessarily, but certainly forward-thinking. We're talking about Dijon. We're talking about McGee. And then he comes out with this incredibly durable album full of left-field R&B that suits the both the smoothness of his voice and also the kind of like light brokenness. The thing is, when Justin Bieber sings R&B, he's not a big church singer. I mean, I think he's gospel curious, sure, but he's not a big church singer. He both has that kind of that liquidity in his voice, but it also breaks quite a bit. And there's something about the rhythms and the textures that Dijon and McGee were able to bring into those rooms along with the other writers that really play well to his natural singing talent.
I thought it was cool he picked UConn.
Yeah.
And then I thought it was
could have been
really cool that he didn't use any vocal effects. Like, yeah. He didn't do the modulation that's on the recorded version. Yeah. He totally stripped it down, you know, quite literally. Here yeah. I am. The Jesus tattoo on his calf, the way it was framed through the mirror, where you're seeing right. him from behind about the and yep. in reflection.
Yep.
Just extremely, I want to know who creative directed this performance.
For sure.
I want to know if he's going to do Coachella this way. Like, if Justin Bieber does even call it a half or a third of his set at Coachella
yeah.
with him and a rug and a loop pedal and some socks.
Yeah.
Like he's going to silence the crowd in a good way.
Yeah.
Like that he is ready. You know what I mean? Like, I believe now that he is ready to reemerge in the way that he wants to reemerge.
And also, like, I'm not to over-index on the religiosity of the thing, but there is this aspect for an artist like Justin who has been kind of pulled through the ringer publicly. There is this thing of him walking on stage and saying, take your shots.
Yeah.
There is quite literally no armor between me and you. I actually can't protect myself against you. I've literally removed that possibility.
Yeah.
And then to come out sturdy.
Nail it.
And just walk off.
Yeah.
And then walk back and then turn the loop pedal off and then walk off right. again.
That was like Cher when she was yeah. presenting.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you think that was a glitch?
Or you think that was intentional?
Which one? Cher or Bieber?
No, Bieber.
Was that a glitch?
I think they both forgot that they had more
coming last thing to
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
I just thought it was an incredibly affecting way to use. Now, up until that point, most of the Grammy performances have been like quite boisterous
yeah.
and exuberant and loud. Yeah. And anyone who's thinking Justin Bieber maybe would have thought he would have gone with something yeah. high energy, high viz, as it were. And he really just, it's interesting. It almost creates this like divot in the middle of the show where everything was up, 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 up. And then your attention got forced. You kind of had to sit with this and you had to sit with like, what do I expect this performer to do?
Yeah.
What do I expect this show to be? What do I expect to feel in an event like this? And then you kind of have this exhale.
That's exactly. So then that, I was going to say exhale. Yeah. I wrote it in my blurb, read it on the New York Times website tomorrow morning okay. in our best worst column. But no, I felt myself and also the room, like you see him up there and you're like, is he going to be fragile?
Yeah.
And he wasn't.
Yeah.
He was just fragile enough, but he was, you felt him sort of get stronger.
He was vulnerable, but not fragile.
And I felt like everyone, sort of the industry in general, exhaled.
Yeah.
I also felt that way watching Lola Young.
Oh, yeah.
She's another person who stripped Messy way back at the piano and the all eight best new artists performed. Mm-hmm. A lot of them were super high energy. Addison, Cat's Eye. Killed it. They did their thing. They brought the VMAs back. It was pure VMAs.
Oh my God.
Parentheses complimentary.
Yes.
And then Lola does Messy alone at the piano. If you haven't been following Lola's career, she released this album after having a big smash hit. She released a follow-up album and then promptly canceled all her tour dates, receded from public views.
She's been going through it.
Said she needed to handle yeah. her addiction and mental health issues. And this was her coming back out there.
Right.
And then to also do the same thing and present as vulnerable, nail her notes, and then win what to me is like one of the more shocking
upsets
on the Grammy stage.
Yeah.
In as long as I've been covering it, like you see a lot of people who didn't maybe think they were going to win, but knew they could win.
Yeah.
I don't think Lola thought she could win.
No.
At all.
I agree with that. And I also think that, what a relief, actually.
Yes.
Like, again, think of all the people watching the Grammys who actually don't know that much about the Lola Young narrative. We're obviously in the business of understanding the Lola Young narrative, sure. but there's so many people who don't know anything. We know it's a surprise for her to win, and we understand that reaction is pure. But imagine how pure that reaction must feel to a viewer who comes in cold,
right.
a viewer who maybe never even heard the person who sings the song that I hear in Walgreens right. all the time until the Best New Artist medley.
Right. You might know Messy, but you don't know Lola Young, and you certainly don't know what she's dealing with as a person.
Yes.
So yeah, that was
a huge triumph.
Best pop solo performance. I feel like moments of pure exultation, you know, pure joy.
Yeah.
Jelly Roll, you saw it. Lola, you saw it.
Yeah.
What else stuck out to you, either in terms of acceptance speeches or performances?
I mean, I think we should talk about the Best New Artist medley, because I think the Grammys, like I said, have been over-indexing on this. And I, on the one hand, I really like that, because it's saying to these young performers, like, actually, you are worthy of performing on your own. I'm literally remember when, if you were a performer getting your first nomination or your second nomination, the only way that you could perform is if you like showed up during the Yo-Yo Ma segment, you know?
Yeah.
But this Best New Artist medley, look, Addison into Cat's Eye, as you mentioned. Cat's Eye absolutely slayed, like undeniably. Addison, the only person who did not perform on stage. You know how we feel about Addison.
Yeah.
Taste is a luxury. We're very, like, we're here. Taste is a luxury.
It felt like a JV performance. It was like, you're the real rookie. Out of all of these people, you're the real rookie, and we're not going to set you up to fail.
I also feel like 7 out of these 8 people performed their song. Addison's segment was a performance of an Addison Rae song.
Yeah, which is fine.
And look, it
was good TV.
Good TV. They did a really smart thing by putting it after Trevor Noah, like the Maria sang, after Trevor Noah, and then they go off to, I don't know if it was pre-taped, I assume it was pre-taped, and then pre-taped into the Cat's Eye thing,
which
then
burst half pre-taped,
and then they burst out on stage. Look, here's a sentence also I never thought I would say. I feel for Alex Warren.
Yeah, the in-ear wasn't
thing.
Working. Look, we're live here on Instagram. We've never done this before. Alex Warren, you know, fumbling with his in-ears. It got him off tempo.
Yeah, like a sort of half beat
he
off.
He held it together.
He really did.
He got back on beat.
Mm-hmm.
You could see it at the end of the performance. He was bummed. I wonder if Post Malone will let him borrow a pair of his Dallas Cowboys in-ears, because I feel like Post Malone's in-ears never malfunction. Like that guy.
He'll never lose.
Audio stuff. Yeah, he just can't. He can't lose. Alex Warren. He did his best.
I didn't hate Alex Warren's performance.
Yeah.
I really don't like that song, as many people know. I didn't hate his performance, and I also, what's interesting is the fact that he was offbeat made me be like, well, this guy's really singing. He's really singing.
Yes.
Unlike some of the other things that we've just seen, this guy's really singing. So shout out to Alex Warren.
Okay, here's what I want to say. Her became him.
Okay.
Leon Thomas.
That was a good one. Came up with that in the room.
Yes.
That was good.
Okay, I got some flack for being glib about Leon Thomas and saying that he was like a Chris Brown knockoff.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Chris Brown is on the remix of Mutt, his breakout single.
Yes.
I think, okay, so here's where I landed. I think Leon Thomas.
New glib take.
I'm going to replace.
I just want to say, I want to look in the camera. Joe is going to replace the previous glib take with the new glib take. So just let me clear out.
I think he's trying to trick people who listen to the radio into thinking that he's Chris Brown. And he's trying to trick people on the Grammys stage into thinking he's Anderson .Paak or her. Was that a good?
Do you think that he will perform with Bruno? I guess the real question is, will he perform with Bruno?
Will
Mars?
Bruno Mars make a mixtape with him?
And also, I do think I just to briefly segue to the tribute segments, which we'll spend more time on. I think he fumbled during the D'Angelo tribute. That was unfortunate. I thought he did great during the Best New Artist. Like again, a classic. I said this in the live blog. There were two styles of success during the Best New Artist segment.
Yeah.
One, pop exuberance.
Spectacle. Yeah.
Addison.
Yeah.
Cat's Eye. And to some degree, Olivia Dean.
Yeah.
Right? And then the other one was like old school.
Yeah.
Like this could have been the 1987 Grammys. And that's Lola and Leon Thomas.
And so her became him and Benson Boone became Somber.
I thought it was incredibly rude of the Grammys to cut to Benson Boone
at the end of the Somber performance.
Immediately at the end of the Somber performance.
Yeah.
It was almost like they were going to put up a Chiron and be like, remember this guy? Question mark.
Remember this guy meaning, do you remember Benson Boone? Or Somber, reminder, Somber is not in fact Benson Boone.
Wow. Somber was wearing a disco ball.
Uh-huh.
And no shirt,
mm-hmm.
Playing his third best song. Mm-hmm. Why do you think Somber played that song?
Must be the new single. I don't know.
That wouldn't have been my choice.
As I said to you in the room, it's his fame as a gun. Like,
it's not even. It's literally not even. That was unfortunate. I also thought it was strange that they ended on him and not Olivia Dean, for what it's worth.
Sure.
Okay. What else do we need to talk about? Should we talk about the tribute segments now? Unless you want to talk about Gaga and Bruno Mars in the middle.
They're just who they are. I don't feel like we ever need to talk about them again until they do something that we haven't seen before. Which is not to say that it wasn't good.
Do you think Bruno Mars, did he demonstrate that he is not AI during this performance?
You tell me. I don't know.
I will say, like, one of the comments in the IG or TikTok comment section on Song of the Week when we did Bruno Mars was basically like, this is a mid Bruno Mars song. And it's funny, when we recorded that, I don't think I thought of it as a good song, a good Bruno Mars song, or a bad Bruno Mars. Yeah. I just simply thought of it as a Bruno Mars song. Yeah. It's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
With the benefit of some distance, I can confirm it is a mid Bruno Mars song. I don't think that performance was a barn burner. Yeah. I don't think it was that exciting. I feel like ultimately Bruno Mars is doing Bruno Mars cosplay. And whether or not this is AI, spiritually speaking, it's as if you fed all of the prior Bruno Mars, every Smeezington's outtake. Mm-hmm. What's up with the Smeezington? Every Smeezington's outtake, this is what you might end up with.
It was interesting that he also opened the show with Rosé. Doing APT.
I think you mean
APT. Yeah. The like rock is back sort of.
Yeah, that's not real.
Undercurrent of the show where even not that rocky songs got performed as if they were a tribute to Ozzy Osbourne. Yeah. I didn't need that. No. If you want to talk about the tributes, you can. I thought it was interesting that they essentially split them by race.
Yeah.
It went from the country.
Reba, we went from like right. Reba,
one kind of white to like a dirtier white. Black Sabbath, Chad Smith, Andrew Watt. You know, all those guys who look like they could use a shower.
Wow.
By design.
Wow.
By design.
Yes.
Into Lauryn Hill.
Miss Lauryn Hill
doing D'Angelo.
Sort of being the sort of like almost like the den mother for like a macro tribute to D'Angelo and Roberta Flack. And then calling out a real communal experience. Yeah. I will say it did feel convivial. It did feel church-like.
Yeah.
It did feel optimistic for a tribute segment. You know, Grammy tribute segments. I mean, this is the Reba thing where it's just you're sort of forced to listen to someone sing an incredibly serious song, an incredibly somber, no pun, incredibly somber tone, and watch faces flash on the screen as a mode of reflection. And this really was a different tradition of grieving. This is everybody coming together to contribute one small piece to a larger idea of celebration of a musical legacy, or two musical legacies in this case.
I really appreciated the sprawl that was afforded to that performance.
Oh yeah.
There was ups, there was downs, but it had the real energy of a homegoing, like a real celebration of life and music. You know, would I have picked slightly different? You know, I felt like there was like a top tier.
Yeah.
You know, we can call him out like Bilal, you know.
Rafael, I mean, Sadiq, Bilal, I mean, like, oh, jeez. You know, having, sometimes I do have to be the old person here, right?
The floor is yours.
Having lived through the 1.0 Bilal era in New York, hearing him in early shows, that first really special album, you always kind of wondered, like, how come it never was as big as it seemed like it might be? And maybe that's an, I mean, you know, I can't speculate about him as an individual, but I do think maybe the music, broadly speaking, moved in different directions. He has never really been a performer who's doing these kind of concession records of like, I'm singing a hook on a nonsense song. Seen him on and off over the years, never been anything less than a top tier talent. it was really moving, I thought, not simply to hear him pay tribute to D'Angelo with this beautiful, beautiful version of Untitled, but also really getting the spotlight.
Yeah.
Like, especially following some lesser moments, if we're just going to keep it a buck.
Yes.
Following some lesser moments, Bilal comes out and was like,
I got this.
Yeah. Sorry. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
That was cute.
Yeah.
I thought that was incredibly moving. Your point about it being given room to sprawl, obviously when you have these live televised performances of any kind, there's this urge of like, we got to get to commercial break. Yeah. And then we got to come out of commercial
hit
break.
Marks. Yeah.
Right. There was absolutely nothing about that going on here.
I don't think Lauryn Hill signs up for anything that has that.
Totally fair. And especially going into the Roberta Flack segment, you have Chaka Khan, you have John Legend. And again, a classic example, another version of the Grammys would have absolutely murdered you with John Legend.
Yeah.
It just would have, there would have been like 7 minutes of John Legend and a piano. And instead, he's just one voice among many.
That takes me to the last things that I want to talk about,
yeah,
the John Legend thing. But we'd be remiss if we didn't have a midnight snack.
Oh,
I'm gonna go over to the snack table. I'm gonna grab.
I'm excited.
I'm just gonna do it impulsively.
Okay. Do you want me to talk? Do you want me to
just tell me if you want savory or sweet?
It's your dealer's choice. Dealer's choice.
All right. F it. These have been around for a while. These are the Glow Ups Swedish Fish Minis.
Looks good.
They glow in black light, I'm told.
Yeah, that's
their strawberry watermelon flavor with edible confetti that glows under black light.
Celebratory.
They might be expired. They're going to taste great anyway.
Are you going somewhere really, really unfortunate right now?
No, I'm going to skip over that, actually.
You're just going to completely ignore it.
Are we not even
going to say the name?
I think the less said about Tyler, the Creator's performance, the better. But on the flip side,
talk about sprawl.
A rap performance that really worked.
Unbelievable.
That could have been
trite.
And it could have been a John Legend performance. And in fact, up until the very moment it started, I expected Clips and Pharrell, the closing slot of the show,
Birds Don't Sing,
to do Birds Don't Sing, their very moving record about their late parents, featuring John Legend.
An incredibly it's both an incredibly rare rap song in its depth of feeling in this contemporary moment, but it's also incredibly rare. It's also exactly the kind of song that I can imagine a producer would say, you know, it'd be great. You guys, with your tough drug raps.
Yep.
Wouldn't it be great if you just did the song about your parents?
Yep.
That'd be amazing. And instead, Pusha, Malice, Pharrell.
They did So Far Ahead.
So Far Ahead.
A deep cut from this album that is extremely detailed about selling large quantities of cocaine.
And what they did at the end, and keep in mind, this is the closing performance of the show.
Yep.
This is not in hour one.
Yeah.
This is not in the middle.
Yeah.
This is the end before Album of the Year. The last thing people saw before they saw Bad Bunny cry was
a
choir in Louis Vuitton robes drenched in fake snow.
You gonna get
snow.
Me a black, all black Louis Vuitton robe?
If someone would give me a discount code, I'd get them for all of us. I'd get
Did
them
you
for
just reference a Trevor Noah joke?
So sorry. I'm so sorry. I'd get them for Sophie and Kate and Pat. And everybody else who's normally in this room, unlike tonight, when it's literally just us. It's literally just us.
Meaning we could go as long as we want.
Hey. Okay. So, look.
They do the red light. They wrap their asses off.
For all these years of people being like, oh, I'm getting, you know, it's like, oh, we're getting away with all this, like, double speak about criminality. And da-da-da-da. It's like, no. There is literal snow. I want everybody to go look at the Mass Appeal cover in 2006, the Clips interview that I wrote, where they're wearing shirts that says there's no business like snow business. Tonight,
they cover the Grammy stage in snow.
There was no business like snow business.
These are so good. You like these? They're a little samey for a whole bag.
Yeah.
There's only one flavor.
I love this in a mix.
Yeah. Like in a bat, like you go to the candy store, you got the little scooper.
Yeah.
You get one scoop of this for sure. And you'd be happy every time you pulled one out of the bag.
It's I would describe this as high neutral. It's not amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad in any way. Would buy. Mm-hmm. Will finish this bag probably. I'm gonna go 7.5 on this.
I was gonna say pure 7 out of 10. Really a nice candy. But too big of a bag for.
Do we not have the black? We don't have the black light to see the edible.
Is there a black light in here? I think that's for next.
Depending how late we stay in the office, the whole damn office might end up with black light.
John, any other moments at the Grammys? Lightning round, you want to call out? Should we take a couple questions before we go?
I do want to mention one other thing.
Someone asked if I got a new desk chair. The answer is no.
Can I mention one other thing?
Yeah.
So Pharrell won the Dr. Dre, Lifetime Achievement.
The Dr. Dre, please show up to the Grammys Award.
Yes. Both Dr. Dre and whoever wins the award. What I will say is that Pharrell, at least, I assume. Here, you want to
just give it a nice little close up for our Instagram Live
friends. I assume Pharrell had a hand in selecting who presented him with that award. I assume. And that was Q-Tip.
Mm-hmm.
Q-Tip from Tribe Called Quest. Also someone who has not been like extremely visible over the last few years. Is great to see Pharrell bowing to Q-Tip. Q-Tip, obviously, one of the artists in the late 80s into the early 90s who helped set the template with the Native Tongues for what the Neptunes and NERD was going to become. And so just to see Q-Tip on stage at the Grammys, I haven't done the Google, but I'm assuming Tribe Called Quest has not won, certainly not in their prime era.
Not won enough Grammys.
Not won enough, if any, Grammys, or even Q-Tip solo.
Well, Fife.
Yes.
But has a line about not caring about the Grammys.
Yes, true. I was really happy to see Q-Tip there. I think that it happened a little bit with the D'Angelo and Roberta Flack tribute. It happened with Pharrell and Q-Tip, black music narratives that haven't always been present on the Grammy stage. There's a little bit of like conscious reach back and say, okay, we're catching up. And part of what catching up involves is reaching back to a generation that maybe got overlooked, maybe wasn't treated the right way. And let's find a way to get them some time as well.
Nice of him also to go off script a little at the beginning. Shout out D'Angelo, his longtime friend and collaborator.
Mm-hmm.
John, I don't know about you. I'm about ready to go to bed.
No.
Any closing thoughts?
Any questions?
Got a couple more questions. All right.
Ready to go to bed? I'm not even close to my bedtime.
Turnstile, 1-2 Grammys.
Very strange.
But on the pre-show, I'm happy for them.
Any of the down ballot folks strike you? Brandon Lake.
Yep.
Brandon Lake and John Roll for Hard Fought Hallelujah. Mad Skills in the spoken word category.
Unbelievable.
Mad Skills, who first of all, one of the great technical rappers and great freestyle rappers in the 90s, known best for his wrap-up series at the end of every year, where he does like one long song about everything that happened during the year, put out a spoken word album, and now a Grammy winner.
Best Americana album went to John Batiste.
Pass.
Justin Bieber using the 2 Chainz ad lib while performing UConn.
Absolutely.
It's in the song also, but
yeah,
nice to hear it in that context.
Absolutely spectacular.
Someone in the chat asks, what do we make of the lack of Sabrina recognition? Here's what I'll say.
Yeah.
Sabrina showed up 2 years in a row. Nailed it.
Game.
Big Broadway level production.
Doing stuff.
Hitting all her notes.
Yeah, yeah. Doing stuff that actually Cat's Eye is probably looking at and be like, damn.
Whoa. Yeah.
Cat's Eye is like everything we do with narrative.
I've personally been saying that Sabrina should host the Grammys. They need a new host next year.
Wow. I like that.
She can do it.
Yeah.
She's a variety show.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Much like Reba hosting the CMAs for many years. Yeah. Sabrina? Oh, I like
she'll
that.
She'll be like, Sabrina Carpenter will win her Grammys. I'm confident that she has a long, fruitful career ahead of her. Guys, This has been great. Thank you for tuning in to our very first, but not our last.
Not our last.
Instagram Live.
We're going to be back next week.
Next week, we will be live at youtube.com/popcast immediately after Bad Bunny's performance at the Super Bowl.
Right.
That's our Super Bowl.
That is our Super
Bowl. This is our Grammys, and that's our Super Bowl.
Which tells you everything you need to know about how we feel about the Grammys. That's our show.
That's our show.
Every podcast ever is at nytimes.com/podcast. We are on YouTube at podcast, Instagram, TikTok at podcast. We're out. It's bedtime. Good night.
Get some sleep.